fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today about the readings we're given this week. I'm just looking at the passages that the church gives us in the daily readings at Mass. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download them and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. Before I jump in, I also want to mention again, coming up April 15th, 16th, 17th week here in Ann Arbor, I want to invite you to consider coming to join us for our annual Renewal Ministries Gathering. Our focus this year is going to be on Rich in Mercy, the mercy of God in this year of mercy. We've got Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, Janet Bankovic, and Father Scott McKegg, the Superior General of the Companions of the Cross, will be there. I'll be there. Our whole team will be there. It'll be a chance for you to meet the whole Renewal Ministries team, if you'd like. But on the weekend, we're just going to dial into, what is this year of mercy about? What does mercy mean? And how can we step into it? How can we experience it more in our lives? And how can we extend it? More importantly, is how can we extend it to others? How can we be conduits of God's mercy? On the weekend, there'll be daily Mass. We'll have some opportunity for confession. We're going to have time of adoration. We're going to have lots of time of worship and prayer ministry and empowerment on Saturday night. But anyway, prayerfully consider joining us. And if you'd like to, you want more information, just go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the information is right there. And if you need to call our office, Kathleen Kittle is the person at our office who can help you. She's in charge of organizing of the event itself. So anyway, you're welcome to join us. So the reading today is from the book of Jonah, the first one, the Old Testament reading, chapter 3, verse 10. And what we see is the story of Jonah. That's the famous, you know, Jonah and the whale story. This is the same Jonah. But Jonah's been called by God to be a prophet. The Lord marks him out and calls him and commissions him to speak a word. Now, Jonah doesn't want to do it. He initially says no because the word's not a popular word. The Lord is sending him into this huge city of Nineveh, which the passage says would take Jonah 3 days to walk from one side to the other. And he's supposed to bring a very difficult message, to declare a word that people are not going to want to hear, so it's going to make him very popular. This can happen to us, you know. I mean, even in a time like ours when the culture we live in is becoming more secularized, in many ways, as Pope Benedict XVI had put it, we're losing our bearings on fundamental realities. To stand up in a culture like this and call people back to the saving truth that really nature's God reveals in the person of Jesus Christ, but just what nature itself reveals to us about what's right and wrong. To make a statement like that, it's very easy for us to say, I know as a Christian, as a Catholic, I'm called to witness. I'm called to speak the truth in love. I'm called to be courageous in bearing witness to the truth. To be able to say, this way danger, this way safety, to communicate to those around us in love and compassion, words of mercy. Because the truth that Jonah is speaking here, as difficult as it is actually a word of mercy. It's extending God's truth and God's mercy and giving them, the people of Nineveh, an opportunity to repent. So here's the passage. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I'll tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a day walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. So the word he spoke, this is a summary, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Why? For it's sin, it's rebellion against God, it's perversion, it's lawlessness. So he proclaims the word, which is very challenging. And thanks be to God, in this situation, the people heard the word. And now he's speaking to Gentiles. He's not speaking to the Jewish people. He's speaking to non-Jews and bringing God's word to them. God created them as well. He said, when the people of Nineveh believed, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. Those were symbols and signs. The sackcloth was a sacrificial response, you might say, to the call to repentance, showing that you've heard the word. And that you want to throw off your garment, your daily garments, and your daily pattern of life, and you want to put on this uncomfortable thing, this sackcloth, and go into a time of repentance and almost mourning for your own sins, but turning away from them. And they proclaim a fast, cut themselves off from all the pleasure and being filled up and distracted by the world, and to just stop and turn toward God and to show signs that they've heard the word. This is such an important truth, because here's what you see is a symbol, a sign, a picture of repentance. The word of God was proclaimed to them, called to repentance and change the way they're living. And what happens? First thing is they declare a fast, which means to empty themselves, to turn more to God, to pay attention to God. And then finally, putting on the sackcloth, it goes on even further. It said, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe. He did the same thing. He took off his robe, his kingly robe. He set it aside. He's now emptying himself. He's full of himself, maybe, and he's emptying himself because God has examined him, and he wants to show God that he's paying attention to God and that he's hearing God's word that's coming to his people. And he covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. It's the same thing. Like, you know how we, at the beginning of Lent, the church begins with Ash Wednesday. Remember, man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That it's easy for us to forget that we're not God. We can be tempted to live as if we are God. We're the master of our own destiny. We make the rules. Might makes right. All the things that the world produces, the fallen world produces, apart from resist God. And here he's sitting in the ashes, which is a sign of repentance. The king himself, right? Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles. Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we will not perish. So here's a king who understands who God is. And he knows he's not God. And he's calling his people, he's using his leadership to call his people to align themselves with God's law, God's plan, God's purpose, and the prophetic word that came to them. It's such an important example, such an important sign. It says, when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil. That is, repentance means what? It means changing direction. Just like the people of Nineveh were living in a way, moving in a direction, was apart from God's plan and purpose. When they heard this word through the prophet, they turned back toward God, toward the revelation of God, that their king said, look, this is the direction of our nation now. We're not going to rebel against God, but let's show him and how we live that we're hearing this word, that we're repenting, that we are seeking to change our lives, because we understand if we don't, we're going to be punished. So it says, when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented. He changed his idea, changed his direction, his intention. He repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. God spoke a word through Jonah, word of mercy, but a severe word of mercy, a word of correction, calling them to repentance, a warning of what their behavior was going to lead them into. And it's a loving father who speaks that word so that people don't end up entering into the consequences fully of their behavior. The logic of where they're living is going to lead to their destruction. They're living as if God doesn't exist. So God calls them out of that, and thanks be to God, they heard. Now, the gospel reading today is related to this. Jesus makes a reference to Jonah. He said, while still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Now, this evil generation, Jesus is talking about really the fallen world, the fallen generation, the people really the whole condition of the human race. But in that particular situation, he's talking to people who are asking for a sign, but the sign that they need to see and the sign that God is giving is right in front of them. It's Jesus. It's his word. It's the miracles and the signs that Jesus himself has performed, but they want more. They refuse to hear God through the signs and the words that Jesus is giving. They're not accepting God's revelation in the person of Jesus. They're rebelling against his word. He said, just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. So as Jonah came as a prophet to speak a word, a warning about impending judgment, that's also what Jesus is doing. Jonah is a type of Christ. Jesus has come to the world to speak a word about the judgment that's coming upon the world. And he's offering us a way out, a way of salvation. Judgment is going to come on the world just like Jesus said. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And he's going to break all the rebellion against the Father. And those who do not receive the sign and the word that comes through the person of Jesus are going to experience, as Jonah said, and as the king of Nineveh said, the wrath of God. It's going to happen. Goes on to say, at the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon because she really was hungry for the truth. And there's something greater than Solomon here. That is, she came to hear Solomon. You know, the king of Nineveh heard the word of Jonah, but now God himself in the person of Jesus is here. God's very word is here. And it's a word that he's speaking about the call to change, to repent, to come back to God radically with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And even though he's so much greater than Solomon, who's coming to hear him? At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it. Because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there's something greater than Jonah here. So those who repented will rise up on the day of judgment against those who refuse to repent at the word of Jesus. I'm thinking even of St. Francis of Assisi once wrote a letter. I read this a number of months ago here on the show to religious leaders around the world, and he's giving the same warning. He was a kind of Jonah. He said, consider to all the political leaders of the world, he said, consider and see that the day of death draws near. I ask you, therefore, with such reverence as I can, not to forget the Lord on account of the cares and solicitudes of this world, and not to turn aside from his commandments. For all those who forget him and decline his commandments are cursed, and they shall be forgotten by him. And when the day of death comes, all that which they think they have shall be taken away from them. And the wiser and the more powerful they may have been in this world, so much greater torments shall they endure in hell. Here's Francis now, the prophet, the third century, in the line with Jonah and with the Lord himself, warning about the consequences, about impending judgment. And this is one of the most loving saints that ever walked the planet, crying out from his heart. That's what we need to hear today, friends. God is calling this country, this world that's running far from him, to come back to him, to repent, to put on sackcloth and ashes, and to turn to God and to welcome his word in Jesus Christ for salvation. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.